Today's sermon is taken from a collection of two volumes called The Expositor's Dictionary of Texts, which dates back over 100 years and is part of the collection of Father Eric Wright, who served St. Bede's at one point. And I have appropriated these two books and keep them on my shelves in Silver City and use them occasionally for finding sermons and things of this type. It's been really great to have. And this particular sermon is called Alive from the Dead. And I don't have an author for it, but it dates back, as I said, to around the turn of the century. And this is taken from Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Alive from the dead. These words have the true ring of Easter. The background of Easter is required to make their meaning clear. Good Friday lies behind us. Good Friday must always be said, for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is not only the revelation of the love of God, it is also the abiding monument of the shame of humankind. Our revolt against goodness, our betrayal of the best, the refusal of ordinary justice, our fickleness and cowardice, our love of self, and our enmity against God. No person who looks at the cross and seriously reflects what it means can fail to be bowed down with shame and penitence. We cannot separate ourselves from that fearful act. The best men have said ever since, "My sins helped to nail him there." We wish that all of our past, the good and bad of it alike, should simply go down into the grave with Christ, that the full force of our baptism should be realized and our old man, our former self, should be buried with him. And we have learned that this is just what God grants to us in his wonderful forgiving love. That is, St. Paul tells us in this passage, we should be planted in the likeness of his death. And why? In order that we may also be with him at his resurrection. Easter meets us with its splendid hope and its thrilling charity. He died unto sin once. He liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Christ is risen. We are risen. Easter has many messages, but that is the deepest and the highest of all. Easter tells of immortality. It is a sure pledge that death, though strong, is not the strongest. It speaks tender words of consolation to those who have parted with their dear ones for a while. It promises that our training here will not be wasted, that it is a schooling for the higher life. It assures us also that the great God in heaven has accepted the sacrifice of him who died for our sins and rose again for our sanctification. And it tells us that in the great conflict between evil and good, the triumph must be with God. God is living, conquering, and reigning, alive from the dead. If that is its message, what is its challenge? Yield yourselves unto God. Let the past be past. Let it be buried in the grave of Christ. God looks on us as he looks on his only begotten Son, who has taken our nature and carried it to the cross and to the grave. And he says to us in him, "This is my son who was dead and now is alive again." He has come back to be an obedient son, to yield himself to his Father's will. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Is it all too mysterious? Does it even sound unreal? No, I appeal to your spiritual being, to its experience, or else to its needs. I speak that which some of you have known once, and it may be, have lost a while through carelessness or willful sin, which all of you may know, if you will ask, that the Holy Spirit may be given to you to take the things of Christ and show them unto you. What will it mean for our whole life, this yielding of ourselves to God? It will mean the study of the will of God. God's will, which is revealed to us in the Holy Scripture, as it is disclosed by the providence that sets with us our daily task, and which is personally known to us by the promptings of the Holy Spirit, in answer to our prayers for guidance and understanding what the will of God is, studying it in order to do it, and so yielding ourselves as instruments with which he may be able to work his will. It will mean that in the broadest sense, but in particular, it may be different for each of us. We cannot say one for another. We cannot foresee that ourselves, what it may involve. We cannot know what it may cost, this offer of our new lives to God. Here is where great faith is demanded of us. Can we trust him to lay no greater burden on us than in the strength which he gives us that we can bear? This is where we mostly fail. Yet this is what he asks most of us. A father loves to be trusted by his child. It is our Father who bids us yield ourselves to him. Did ever anyone trust him who was confounded? Amen. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all.